We're still going to hear from God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if you got your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Philippians chapter 1. Amen. Philippians chapter 1. I want to bring some encouragement this morning. Is that okay if I can encourage you guys this morning? Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 1, opening from verse 3 and 6. The Bible reads, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He wrote a letter to the church that he planted there in the city of Philippi. Amen. And he writes this letter back to the church. And he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work, somebody say good work. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the honor and privilege of hearing your word this morning. And I pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to be in this place upon every heart, every life, Lord, that you would speak through me, Lord, to each and every one of your people. We ask that you would have your way, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we all say amen. Here, Paul is writing to this church in Philippi, and he's remembering when he was there going, because Paul was going from city to city preaching the gospel, proclaiming the good news of the love of Jesus. And there in the city of Philippi, as he was preaching and as he was ministering, something began to happen. People started to get saved. People started to get delivered. Something that's similar that happens in Victory Outreach when we go into a city and we start having street rallies and we start preaching the gospel on the street corners, things begin to happen. In some cities, they happen quicker than others. Some cities, it's like you got to keep preaching and keep praying and keep preaching and keep praying and believing God, and it's like hard ground. And then there's other areas like South Africa right now and Panama in Victory Outreach where they're preaching the gospel and all of a sudden things are happening really fast. Churches are growing really fast. A lot of people are getting saved overnight. But here Paul was preaching and things began to happen. People started to get saved and a church was born. God started doing a work there within the city of Philippi. And as God, what's interesting to note about here in verse 6, that Paul is trying to encourage the church, is he's trying to tell them, God began a good work inside of you. He's thinking about the people and the miracles. God began such a good work in you. And he gives them this awesome promise that, it says, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. So who is the one that began the work in the church of Philippi? It wasn't really Paul, even though he might have been the vessel, the instrument of preaching the gospel. It really wasn't Paul that began the work. It was Jesus that began the work in their lives. It was the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that began a work inside of them. And Paul was saying, hey, just as God began that good work inside of you, he's not going to abandon you. He's not going to leave you where you're at. Amen. But God is going to complete it. He's going to continue to work on you, continue to mature you until you reach completion, until Jesus Christ, the day when he comes back. Because how many know Jesus is coming back? And as I look around here, this room, this morning, I see miracles. I see men and women and young people and even children that by the grace of God, you're here this morning. That at one time or another, the gospel came to you. Somebody told you about Jesus. And so you find yourself in the house of God this morning. How many know that's a miracle? Especially for many of us that we had some pretty rough backgrounds. We find ourselves in the house of God. Miracles. Who would have thought that this would be our place? I was driving the other day. I drive for a living. I was driving through Janesville. I was telling my wife, I was driving through Janesville. And I was driving down this road, and we were entering to town. And I'm looking off to my right. I said, man, that building looks really familiar. I said, what is that building? And why does it look familiar? I'm not in Janesville very often. So I look at this building, and I'm getting close. I was like, man, I know that building. What is that building? I don't know what it is. But then I began to get closer, and I was like, and then I began to realize, like, oh, yeah, I used to be a former guest in that building at the Rock County Correctional Facility. I used to live there. That used to be my address. But now the presence of God is my address. How many know that's a miracle, right? Because Jesus didn't leave me there. He started a work in me, and he's still working on me. Amen. But there's miracles all in this house. God began a good work inside of you. And I want to encourage you here this morning that good work that God began inside of you, he's going to carry it on to completion. Because some of us, sometimes we feel stuck with where we're at, right? We feel like we're just stuck. We can't move forward. We don't know how we're going to get over this obstacle that we're currently facing within our lives. But God promises us that if we remain in his will, he's going to carry us through. He's going to bring it to completion. He's not going to abandon us. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. How many know that's good news? But we have to receive that by faith, because sometimes we get discouraged and say, oh, man, this ain't never going to happen. And then we start talking negative. Oh, this ain't never going to happen. I'm never going to fulfill my calling. I'm never going to get out of this mess. My marriage is never going to get better. My children are never going to behave. And we start talking all this negative talk rather than start speaking my faith. I say, no, God began this work, and he's not going to leave me. He's going to work it out. I'm just going to trust him to do the work. See, the problem comes when we start trying to do the work, right? We start trying to work it out when God is the one that began the work, and he's going to be the one to finish the work. But is there a people here that are willing to trust him to complete the work that he began in your life? Is there a people here like that? Amen. Let's go to the next scripture in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. God saved us. He began a powerful work within our lives. But what I want to bring out here this morning is that God did not save us just so we can be saved, just so we can go to heaven, but he saved us for a purpose here this morning. I like how this last Wednesday we watched a video from Pastor Barry from South Africa, and he said something that stuck out, something that has always been close to me. He says God didn't only save us from something, you know, from all that mess that we were in. He didn't just save us from something. He saved us for something. He saved us for something. God has a purpose for our lives. Jeremiah 1, 4 through 5. The word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So here God is telling this young Jeremiah, who is just a youth, I have a plan for your life. I knew you before you were in the womb. See, there ain't no accidents in the house of God. Sometimes we might feel that we were an accident from maybe our parents. See, God knew us. Every gift of life, God has a purpose for. God was telling Jeremiah, I knew you. I set you apart. I put a purpose inside of you before you were even born yet. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. God was telling this to Jeremiah, but he's telling it to all of Israel, and he's telling it to you and I here this morning, that God is saying, I know the plans that I have for you. God knows. He has a specific plan, a specific purpose in mind when he thinks about you. One thing that's awesome about God is when God looks here this morning, God doesn't see a crowd. God sees each and every person. He knows you by name. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your shortcomings. And in the midst of all that, you see, pastors, they might not know our shortcomings. Leaders might not know our shortcomings. And we start thinking, if they only knew, they wouldn't want to use me. If they only knew what I've done, they wouldn't want to use me. But my friend, I want to tell you that God knows what you've done. God knows where you're at, and he still wants to use your life. He still has a plan and a purpose specifically designed for you. See, this plan and purpose that God has, it cannot be fulfilled by anybody else. It is specifically designed and built for you. God fashioned it while he was fashioning you. And he put it inside of you. This plan, this purpose, these thoughts that God thinks towards you. God says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And they're good plans. Some of us think they're bad plans, that God just wants me to suffer. God just wants me to stay in this mess. No, look what he says. He says, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. I don't know about you, but to me, that sounds good. That kind of future sounds good to me. Amen. That's a better plan than I had for my life, better plan than my family had, than society had. Awesome plans that God has for you here this morning. I want to encourage you. God has not forgotten about you. His plan and his purpose is there. It's inside of you. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10 and 11. God says, I make known the end from the beginning. From ancient times, what is still to come. What is he saying? He says, I make a plan. I give you my plan before it happens. He says, I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east, I summon a bird of prey. From a far-off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. You see, when God makes a plan, his plan is perfect. He don't back out. You see, with God, there's no plan B. Amen? There's no plan B. When God makes a plan, it's perfect. Even though we're involved. Even though we're a part of that plan. And God says, what I plan, that's what I'm going to do. What he's saying is, I'm not going to go back on my word. Sometimes we think that sometimes we can mess up. And we think that God goes back on his word. God doesn't go back on his word. We might have messed up. We might have tripped up. But that plan is still there for you and for me. He says, that which I plan, that I will do. Remember, God is the one doing the work in us and through us. It's not us necessarily doing something for God, but it's God doing something in us and through us. How many know that's good news? He summons us from a far-off land. He's looking for a man or a woman to fulfill his purpose. See, many think within the church that only a few are called of God. And we get this idea that, yeah, I'm not called of God to be a pastor, to be an evangelist. I'm not called to be some missionary in Panama and go and preach the gospel. I don't feel called to these great ministries. And so we get this idea of that there's only a few people that are gifted and that can preach and, you know, things like that, that those are the ones that call. But no, God calls all that are his. Any child of his is also called. Those he predestined, he also called, the Bible says. That means if you are a child of God, you are called of God. You are chosen of God. God has a purpose for you. It's not just a few, but it's for all. And those plans and that purpose that God has for us, that he formed inside of us, he put within inside of us, it's like he placed it in us like a seed within our lives. That purpose, the thoughts, his plans, his will. When we were born, it's put in our lives as a seed. It's not put in our lives full grown and matured, like a mature tree, right? How many know you don't just wake up one day and all of a sudden you're walking in your calling, walking in power, walking in miracles, you know, like the song said? Walking in power, walking in miracles. I wonder how many times when we sing that song, people are thinking, I ain't walking in power, I ain't walking in miracles. I don't know what that song is saying. But see, that's the destiny that God has for us. He wants us to walk in power and walk in miracles, walk in his anointing. If we begin to tap in to that seed, that potential that lies within our lives, that purpose that God put there, he put it there as a potential, as a seed. It's a seed within your life that needs to just be recognized. But in order for this seed of God's purpose within our lives to come to pass, certain things have to happen for that seed to grow, for that seed of purpose to flourish and bear fruit within our lives. It's not just going to happen on its own. The book of John, chapter 5, we read a story, and I'm going to kind of refer to the story throughout the preaching. Let's just read some of it. It says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now, there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which is in Aramaic, is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, just leave it on this verse, Chris, do you want to get well? Jesus seen this place, a place where the sick and the lame, they would go, and scripture says that, you know, an angel would come and stir the waters, and the first one in the water would get healed. And here he learned that this guy had been, he's a cripple, and he's been sitting here for 38 years in the same condition. Even though, how many times has that man seen the water stirred? And every time the angel came and stirred the waters, it was an opportunity for this man to get his miracle. But when Jesus learned that he was in this condition for so long, it posed him to ask a question. Do you want to get well? I believe that's how he said it. I could be wrong. I wasn't there. When I get to heaven, I'll ask Jesus. But I believe he asked him in a way like, do you even want to get well? Do you want it? Do you want it? See, the first step, there's 3 steps that I have here to fulfill our purpose that God has placed within inside of our lives. The first step is we must want God's purpose. You got to want God's purpose. And I call this the desire stage. The desire stage. And it's where we weigh in a balance the purposes of God or our purposes, our will, our desires, or even the purpose and the will of the world has for our lives. Because how many know the world tries to inject a sense of purpose in your life? Tries to inject, hey, come and live for this, and you'll be satisfied. Come and get this, and you'll be satisfied. The first question we got to ask ourselves is, where is our desire? Where is the want within our lives? Do we truly want God's purpose, God's plan to come to pass within our lives? And that's what Jesus was asking this man. Do you want to get well? What do you want? There's another story in the Bible where somebody was crying out to Jesus. It was a blind man crying out to Jesus, and Jesus approached him, and Jesus asked him, "What do you want? What do you want me to do for you?" And the man said, "I want to see." So it's a question of want. What makes you satisfied here this morning? Just living a good life? See, for many of us, not all of us in this room, but many in this room, anyone who has maybe lived a life of addiction. For many of us, I know it was Pastor Charlie's prayer. Just get me off drugs. Just get me out of this mess. And it might not be an addiction. It could be family problems, marital problems. You know, it could be all kinds of things. And we say, just get me out of this mess. How many of you ever prayed that prayer before? And we pray that prayer, just get me out of this. And God is so awesome. God is so faithful. And he brought us out. He did a miracle within our lives. He set us free. He took away the addiction. He took away the bondage. He began to heal. He began to do things that no one could do. And so we're that miracle. But then we get to that place where, in a sense, like that was all that there was. And we become satisfied with now just being sober and being saved and coming to church and having dignity once again. And we're like, man, I got dignity. I got belonging. I got, you know, wow, this is good. I could live like this. This is good. I got a good life now. I got a job. I could pay my bills. The cops ain't after me no more. The dealers ain't after me no more. I don't have to look around, you know, look behind me all the time. When I was in world, I used to walk like this. Always looking behind me, thinking that somebody was after me. And sometimes we can get satisfied with living the good life, living the American dream, so to speak. But I want to tell you that God has just a little bit more for your life and my life, amen? God has more. See, we can't be satisfied with a little bit. Can't be satisfied with the American dream. We got to get a hold of God's dream, God's plans, God's thoughts towards our lives. The question is, do we want it? Jesus asked the man, do you want to get well? It's a matter of desire. In Luke 7:30, it says that the Pharisees and experts of the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. See, here the teachers of the law thinking that they had it all together, that, you know, they were the experts. They rejected God's purpose for their lives. They said, no, I'm good right here, right where I'm at. I like doing things my way. How many know that's a part of human nature, like getting our way? How many know somebody that always got to have their way? Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look at your wife. Don't look at your husband. They always got to have their way. They always got to have the last word. I think we can all raise our hands on that one, right? Like, that's us at times. We all got to have our way at times. We get in the flesh and say, no, I don't feel like it. I don't want to do that. I don't want. Think about that word, want. What do you want? Why are you here this morning? You see, in Victory Outreach, we don't come to church just to come to church, just as a religious exercise. You got to ask yourself why you're here this morning. You got to ask yourself, what do you want? Jesus is telling you this morning the same thing he told the blind man. What it is do you want? What do you want me to do for you? Do we want to continue to live our lives based on our ways, our understandings? Or do we want the purposes of God to be fulfilled within our lives? Do we want the calling of God to come to pass within our lives? That seed that God placed inside of you when you were born, that seed of potential and purpose and destiny? Do we want that to come out and to come to fruition where we can say, I'm walking in my destiny. I'm walking in my calling. This is what I was born to do. You got to ask yourself this morning, what you're doing right now, is that what you were born to do? Is that what you were born to do? The job that you're at right now, is that why you were created? Is that why you exist? Are you walking in your calling this morning? Is that what you were born to do? See, most of us could probably say, no, I don't think I was born to do this. This is just kind of how the lot fell. This is just kind of where I ended up. But there's something inside of us that we were born to do. A God-given purpose. The question is, do we want it? Do we want it? Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. See, we make a lot of plans within our hearts. I want to do this, and next year I want to do this, and I want to get this job, and once I have enough money, then I'm going to do this. How many make plans like that? I'm going to plans to go here, plans to go there. It says, but only God's purpose prevails. How many want to prevail this morning? How many want to overcome, be an overcomer this morning? You see, the only way to be an overcomer, the only way to walk in miracles and walk in power, as the song says, to be prevailing within your life is to get under God's purpose for your life. It's the only way. God, it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So when we place our lives and our will and our wants and our desires under the purposes of God, we too will prevail. Walking in the favor of God, we'll be overcomers more than conquerors, like the Bible says. See, sometimes we walk around claiming that scripture, I'm more than a conqueror, right? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. But we're still doing things our way, with our strength, in our understanding, right? And we're quoting those scriptures and we're quoting them out of context. Tell your neighbor, that's bad hermeneutics. Bad interpretation of the Bible. We start quoting all these scriptures. But the only way to truly prevail within our lives is to place our lives underneath God's purpose and allow His purpose to come to pass in and through our lives. If we hold on to our plans, we're not going to prevail. It's only as we release our plans and allow God to do what He wants to do within our lives that miracles will start happening. Psalms 33:10-11. It says, the Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of His heart through all generations. It says He thwarts the plans of the peoples. You know, I always like saying, you know, we make plans and God just sits and laughs. He laughs. And sometimes, even though we're coming to church, we're actually fighting against God because we're holding on to our plans. And God says, no, I'm going to thwart those plans because that's not why I created you. That's not why I saved you. That's not why I brought you to this ministry. That's not why I raised you up and filled you with the Holy Spirit. Just to do that, that's not why. That's not the purpose that I have for you. I have something better for you. So I'm going to mess up this plan of yours a little bit. Get you in trouble on your job a little bit. Show you that this ain't what you were born for. You were born for something else. God starts messing up your plans. God starts putting an anxiety inside of you, putting a dissatisfaction inside of you. I always say dissatisfaction with where you're at is a good thing because you are called for more. See, the moment you get satisfied, oh, I'm comfortable, I'm satisfied just where I'm at. Just with this little ministry I got here, you know, I'm singing on a worship team now. I'm all good, you know. I got a few things. I got a, you know, got a nice crib, nice rib. You start getting satisfied. little bit too comfortable. God can't use you no more. See, God has something better. How many believe that? God has something better in store for you. The Bible says that his ways are so much higher than our ways in Isaiah 55. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. We can't even comprehend, the Bible says, what God has prepared for us. We can't figure it out. You could sit down and strategize and have meetings, and I'm going to figure out my life plan. We can't figure it out. God's ways are so much higher than our ways. We don't know, you don't know what's going to happen if we place our hands in the hands of the Lord. But it's to prosper us. Remember, it's for a good, it's for a future. And if you're in Victory Outreach, you never know where you're going to be, right? Hey, go to, you know, like the Pastor Barry on the video we watched on Wednesday, he just graduated a home, and his pastor came and said, hey, I want you to go to Indonesia and live in Indonesia and minister. Yeah, they're chopping off Christians' heads, but that's okay, you know. Okay, you know. But thank God he was willing to go. He submitted his life to God's plan, not his plan. Because how many know that's not the logical thing to do? Take your family, move to Indonesia, where they're killing Christians, where it's not safe, right? And go preach the gospel. That's not the logical thing to do. But he went, he was obedient, and what happened? God began to move. God began to raise up a church. God began to do miracles there in the country of Indonesia, where those families would not have been saved if this man wasn't willing to go. There are many that are counting on us that will be lost forever in eternity if we get comfortable and are not willing to go. He thwarts our plans. We begin to settle for less than God's best. We begin to settle for less than God's calling. You see, this man that was sitting on the side of the pool, do you think that was God's best for him? Just to be a paralytic and paralyzed and can't move and just to sit on the side of a pool watching everybody else get their miracle while he sat there in the same condition year after year after year for 38 years? Do we really think that was God's best for him? Ask yourself where you're at right now. Is that God's best for you? Think about your family for a moment. What's happening in your family? Some might be having, like, man, miracles are happening in my family. That's praise God. We praise God for that. But not all. God has something better. God wants the entire house to be saved. Not just us, but the entire household. But the question is, Jesus asked this man, do you want to get well? Do we want, what is our desire at? Do we want God's calling upon our life? Do we want to, you know, regardless of any, is that our main focus, our main desire? God's will for our lives. Not my will, but your will be done. Because the truth is, some just don't want it. Some don't want God's best. Like the Pharisees and the Sadducees rejected God's purpose for their lives. Many just don't want it. They're like, they're happy with where they're at. But there are some that desire it. Do I got any people like that here this morning? Amen. So the first step to fulfill that calling, that purpose that God placed within our lives is to want it. The second step to bring out that purpose is we must work out God's purpose. We must want God's purpose, and we must work out God's purpose. See, this, the first stage was the stage of want is a desire stage. What do you desire? This second stage of working out God's purpose is a preparation stage. A stage of preparation. Because that seed of God's purpose and God's potential within inside of our lives, It's gonna take work. Oh man, I know I just said a cuss word in here. Work, right? Nobody likes to work. That seed is gonna require work. We're gonna have to work that soil in order for that seed to grow. You see, even though we're saved for a purpose, even though God filled us with all the potential, meaning all the capacity to fulfill the purpose is already inside of you. All the gifting, the ability, the personality, who you are, what you look like, it's all prepackaged. Yeah, a prepackaged deal. God packaged you up for a specific purpose. Everything is there. All the giftings are there. The ability is there. But that potential does not come out all by itself. It ain't just going to come out by itself. It ain't just going to come out if we pray for it. See, a lot of people dream. I would say almost everybody dreams. Everybody has a dream that they begin to think. That's why everybody goes to the lottery. They buy them lottery tickets. Why? Because they have a dream, if they had all this money, of what they were going to do with it. And that's what they always ask. So what are you going to do with the money if you win? What they're asking is, what's your dream? Everybody in this room has a dream about something. Something that you wish you could do. You wish you could accomplish. See, I believe everybody has dreams. But there are few that are willing to do what it takes to bring that dream to pass. And because that requires work, tilling the soil, working that potential, working that purpose till it comes to fruition. In Genesis 2, verse 5, this is in the beginning of creation, it says, "And no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth. No plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground." Verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. This was before the curse, right? Before the fall. Adam and Eve were still perfect. God gave Adam and Eve a purpose. Take this garden. I want you to work it. I want you to take care of it. Because in that garden, God placed a lot of potential. A lot of potential for a lot of fruit. But he says, you got to work it and you got to take care of it. You see, with inside of our lives, God placed a lot of potential for you and I to bear a lot of fruit. Fruit in abundance. Fruit that will glorify the name of Jesus. But we're going to have to work it, and we're going to have to take care of it. We're going to have to work out that potential, work at that soil within our lives in order for it to grow. See, God put Adam in the garden in order to work the ground. That was part of his purpose. What's interesting to note in verse 5 is that God didn't send rain on the land. He didn't send rain because there was no man in position to work the ground. No man was there to work the ground. You see, I believe here this morning that God wants to send rain upon your life. God wants to send rain upon this church. But he's waiting for men and women to be in position and to be ready to work the ground. And when we're ready and we're in position and we want God's purpose and we start placing ourselves under God's plan, under God's purpose for our lives, and we don't just want it, but hey, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to fulfill it. No matter the cost, no matter the price, I'm willing to work. I'm willing to do what it takes to bring it to pass, because I'm tired of sitting around watching everybody get blessed, watching everyone answer the call of God, going to all these places, being used by God, and me still in the same spot. So are we willing to do what it takes? See, God is looking for men, and he's looking for women, and he's looking for youth that are willing to take their place and that are willing to roll up their sleeves and get busy for the purposes of God. And as we have a church like that, I believe God's going to send the rain. See, God wants to send the rain of souls upon this church. He wants to bring in families. He wants to fill every single chair in this place with a soul, with your family members, with your neighbors, with those that are lost and bound in this city. God wants to fill these chairs with lives. But if God were to send the rain like that next Sunday, every chair would be filled to capacity, and we'd have the balcony filled to capacity. If God did that next Sunday, first, let me ask this. Do you believe God could do that? If God were to do that next Sunday and send the rain, the question is, would there be enough workers to take care of the harvest? Would there be enough leaders, enough men and women that are willing to get busy and disciple and help teach and help train and help minister and pray for these people? Would there be enough people, or would there just be a couple pastors and a couple leaders having to take care of 600 people? You see, God ain't going to send the rain until there's workers in position, until there's just disciples in position, leaders in position. That's when God's going to send the rain. Sometimes we keep praying, God, send the rain, send the souls, bring in the increase, bring in the increase. But there's nobody to take care of them when they come. How many have ever been hurt by a church, not necessarily our church, maybe another church, because you came to church and you felt like your needs were neglected? You felt like when you needed someone to pray for you, there wasn't somebody to pray for you. When there was a financial need, nobody was there to help you. You see, the reason why that is because there's not enough workers in position. There's not enough men and women willing to work and take care of God's people. Because according to the Bible, it's not just the pastor's responsibility to take care of everybody. And that's why when Moses was in the wilderness with the people of Israel after they got delivered out of Egypt, he had like 1.5 million people. Can you imagine being a pastor of 1.5 million? And a bunch of murmuring, complaining ex-slaves. And he would sit up there and counsel all their problems. And his father-in-law came and rebuked him. What are you doing? You're going to wear yourself out and these people. You need to raise up leaders. You need to raise up workers to help you counsel these people, pray for these people. You can't do it by yourself. It's too heavy for you. Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene, they can't do it by themselves. They need men and women and leaders to rise up and begin to be willing to work and say, Pastor, use me. Use me to go pray for that person in the hospital. You do what you got to do. I'll go. Are there workers in position ready to receive the harvest? That's why Jesus prayed when he says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest for God to send workers into his harvest field. See, we need workers here this day. Because we don't want that to be said of Victory Outreach, Milwaukee. We don't want it to be said of Victory Outreach that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We don't want that to be said about us. We want it to be said of us that the church is full of workers and laborers, instruments in the hands of God, ready and willing to do whatever it takes to bring the dream to pass, to bring God's purpose to pass. And one of God's primary purpose, his primary purpose throughout Scripture is the salvation of the lost. Isn't that why Jesus came and hung on a cross? To save those that were lost and bound, that needed a Savior? That's his purpose. And God wants to raise you up and to use your life to bring his purpose to pass. But we have to be willing to work. We can't just sit around and, you know, like this guy. Jesus was like, do you want to get well? It's going to take work. Somebody say work. It's going to take hard work to bring that purpose out of our lives. You see that potential within our lives as a seed. Seed, when you think about seed, seed only grows when the conditions are right. Right? You throw a seed in the Sahara Desert, it ain't going to grow. You throw a seed in the Arctic, up there in the ice, and you can pray, and you can have all the faith you want. Oh, I pray in the name of Jesus that an oak tree is going to grow here. But I mean, no, it ain't going to grow. Why isn't it going to grow? The conditions ain't right. For any seed to grow, the conditions have to be right. For the seed of God's purpose within our lives to grow and bear fruit, the conditions have to be made right. Put in the right soil. What are some of these conditions of soil that allow God's purpose to prevail within our lives? The first one is that it's all spoken of all the time, is that we need a personal relationship with God. When we have a personal relationship with God, a daily prayer life and studying His Word and an intimate relationship with God, not just coming to church, but truly knowing God on a personal level, it allows God to begin to soften that heart and prepare the soil of our hearts so that His seed can begin to grow within our lives. Don't expect the seed of God to grow without God, without the presence of God, without a relationship with God. So it has to start there. It has to start by getting to know Jesus. Do we know Him? Do we walk with Him? It allows the condition of our hearts to be right for that seed to grow. So if you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, allow that to be your aim. Begin to grow and begin to seek God. He says that when we seek Him with all our heart, He will be found by us. We will find Him. Another condition for allowing that seed to grow within our lives is to be plugged into the church. You see, Christians were never meant to function outside of the body of Christ, outside of the church of God. When you study the New Testament, you see the importance of the church, the importance of the people of God. And in order for that potential to come out of your life, we have to get plugged in to the body of Christ. Because the gifts, the abilities that we have, that God placed within our lives, they weren't meant for us. They weren't meant for us just to go and make a lot of money with our gifts and our talents. The gifts that we have were meant to help edify and build up the church. That is the purpose of those gifts. Talks about that in the book of Ephesians. Are we using our gifts merely for ourselves, or are we using them to build up the body of Christ? Because that's why they're there. And as we're in the church, as we start getting involved, God begins to draw potential out of your life. As you begin to just get involved with, you know, anything, hey, I'll be an usher. I'll be in the children's ministry. I'll be on the worship team. I'll go to the streets and help pass out flyers and evangelize. I'll help with the sound or the computer ministry. Hey, whatever it takes. And as we begin to get involved and use our gifts to build up the church, God begins to take that potential and begins to grow it. The soil becomes right. See, too many try to fulfill the call of God without the church. I don't need the church. I just need me and God. Just me and God. I got a personal relationship with God. I don't need a pastor. I don't need the church. Well, you must not know your Bible very well. Because the Bible says otherwise. Not me. I don't say otherwise. Jesus said otherwise. And when somebody talks to me like that, I said, this person don't know the Bible. They need to be in Vetti. They need to go to Vetti. They need to go to life group and learn how to read the Bible. Because we need each other, right? That's why the Bible says iron sharpens iron. It's good for us. It begins to fashion us. It begins to shape us when we're in relationship with one another. The soil of being connected to the church. The question is, are you connected? We have a lot of opportunities here within the ministry for you to get connected with somebody. Get connected in a life group. You know, that's an awesome place to start in a small group, in a life group. Get connected with some people, amen? And they meet outside the church. They don't have to come to the church. Go to that house that they meet at for a life group. Some meet here in the church, too. And just get involved, amen? Help cook some tacos. Help eat the tacos. I know we ain't got no problem eating the tacos, but... start getting involved, and you'll be surprised on the miracles God starts doing in your life. The process of prayer, the process of faith. We need faith for that seed to come to fruition. We need to believe that that purpose that God placed within our life, that scripture in Isaiah, that which I plan, that I will do. We have to believe and take God at his word that his purpose within our life is going to come to pass. And we got to walk around in faith. I believe I'm going to fulfill the call of God. Are you still speaking about the call of God? Are you still speaking about the purpose of God? Man, what, God is going to use me in a mighty and a powerful way. You know, I'm going to do this, and you know, I'm gonna take a city, and I'm gonna go to Africa, and I'm gonna do this, and you know, start speaking faith. It's not arrogance, it's faith. Speak faith. But if you walk around, you know, I don't know, this ain't ever gonna happen, and pastor don't notice me, and he don't know how much I work, and you know, nobody sees what I'm doing, amen. But how many know? It ain't pastors. Pastor isn't the one that brings out the purpose within you. It's not his pastor's purpose. It's God's purpose. It's God's purpose that he wants to bring out of your life. And God sees everything. He sees the work that you do behind the scenes. He sees that ministry, that soul that you prayed for. Nobody's seen you pray for them, but Jesus saw you. Jesus saw you. And so we got to pray, we got to believe in faith that purpose that God placed there in our mother's womb will come to pass. Do you have the boldness to take God at his word and believe God for what he says, even though your circumstances might tell you that that's the way it is? I mean, those circumstances, situations, the devil tries to come in with lies and saying, you ain't never going to make it. You ain't never going to do nothing great for God. You're just an average. You're just called to be, you know, just a pew warmer, just to come to church and be miserable for the rest of your life. How many know the devil likes to lie? But I don't know about you, but I don't think I want to take the word of the devil, because he's a liar and the father of lies. I'm going to take the word of the father of truth. Because he can't lie. And not only can he not lie, but what he says, well, he has the ability and the power to carry it out. So we need that faith within our lives that, you know, God is going to use my life. I might be stuttering, you know, like Moses said, I just stutter and I don't know how to speak and I don't know how to talk. And all these fears and anxieties come within our life, because how many know the calling of God is so much greater than you and me? It's so much greater than you and me that it's going to take God to fulfill it. So if you think about the call of God, right, and it doesn't produce a little fear and anxiety, something's wrong. It should. That tells us we need God. We got to get closer to God. And it allows us to exercise our faith, just like David did. He might have been a little guy, Goliath was a giant, but he says, nah, it ain't happening here. Why? Faith. Other thing to work this soil is to lay aside anything pulling out all them weeds within our lives that are hindering the growth. Sometimes we have weeds and sin and things within our lives that are stopping the growth of God's purpose within our lives. That's why Hebrews 12 verse 1, It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You see, it's hard to run when you're entangled. It's hard to, you know, to do the call of God when there's weeds and sins and old bondages of the past holding us down. That's why the writers of the book of Hebrews says to throw it off. Throw it off. What's hindering your life this morning from fulfilling the call of God? Throw it off. Get rid of it. Say no more. No more. Is this going to stop me from fulfilling the call of God? I'm not going to allow this little thing to stop me. I want God's purpose to come to pass. So we got to throw off those things that hinder. What is it that hinders? Can we go back to the story of Luke 5? Or I mean John 5? John 5, the story of the man at the pool. Next verse. Next verse. Next verse. Next one. Next one. Next one. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. See, you know, Jesus asked him, do you want to get well? And what do? He started making excuses. How many times do we start making excuses for why we can't do what God's called us to do? Oh, it's Pastor Charlie's fault. It's the church's fault. It's my wife's fault. It's these children's fault. It's everybody's fault but my own. It's Obama's fault. It's Trump's fault. It's all these people's fault. How many know we can't blame nobody? We got to throw aside those excuses. Go to the next verse. Then Jesus said to him, get up. Get up. Get up out of your excuses and pick up your mat. Jesus was telling this guy to not only want to get well, he was telling him he had to work for it. He had to get up. He had to exercise his muscles and to pick up his mat. To pick up his mat, that's work. You got to pick up your mat. Pick up your mat and begin to work. We got to not only want God's purpose, but we got to throw aside the excuses and get up out of our situation and pick up our mats, pick up our gifts, pick up our purpose, pick up our calling, pick up the tools that God's given us to build, pick up prayer, begin to pick up faith, and begin to build what God has called us to build. God's given us the tools that we need to build our lives for his glory and for his honor, but we got to pick it up just like God told this man, pick up your mat. God's telling you this morning, pick up your faith. Pick up a prayer life. Pick up your Bible and start to read it. Pick it up. Begin to work. Begin to take your gifts and pick them up and use them for the glory of God. So we got to want it. We got to work for it. And as we work, God's going to send the rain. And things will start to happen. And God's purpose will start coming to pass within our lives. But then the third one is, not only we got to want it, God's purpose, not only we got to work for it, but we got to walk in God's purpose. We got to walk in God's purpose. The first stage was the desire stage. Do you want it? The second stage was a preparation stage. What are you willing to do to work at it, to make it happen? And the third one is the fulfillment stage. When you start walking in your calling. Ephesians 4:1. Ephesians 4:1 says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. What does it mean to live a life worthy of the calling you have received? It means to be true to your calling. It means to walk in alignment with your calling. It means to live at the level of your calling. You see, many don't answer the call of God because it always calls us to live at a higher level. It always calls us to live at a higher standard. God wants to take you to greatness, but we got to go up to his level. Stop asking God to come down to your level. He wants to take you up to his level. Walk worthy of the calling you have received. See, this is, you know, God told the paralyzed man, he told him, do you want to get well? Then he told him, okay, you want it? Now get up and pick up your mat. And then he told him what? Walk. Begin to walk. Begin to walk forward. Begin to walk towards the fulfillment of your promise. Begin to walk out your calling day by day, step by step. See, in this stage of fulfillment, there's a great need for integrity. Because why? Satan, the tempter, is going to come and try to throw you off course and try to throw some curveballs your way. Because he don't want you fulfilling your purpose. He don't want you drawing out that potential and doing something great for God. So it's a need for integrity. That's why I said live a life worthy of your calling. There's also a need for commitment in this stage of walking out your calling. Why is there a need for commitment? Because it's going to get hard, my friend. It's going to get hard. The purposes of God, the calling of God is not easy. It's not a walk in the park. It's not winning the lottery. And that's why many don't do it. It's going to get hard. But I mean, no matter how hard it gets in this stage, we have to keep on walking, keep on moving forward, keep on, you know, fulfilling our purpose. Say, I'm not going back. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I don't care how hard it gets. I don't care how hard I got to fight. I don't care how long I got to pray. I don't care how long I got to believe God. My family's going to be saved. I'm going to keep walking in that purpose that God has given me. You can't give up when the going gets tough. As the worship team makes their way, you got to keep walking. It's going to require commitment. God was telling this man, yeah, you know, you were healed. Pick up your mat and begin to walk and keep on walking. Don't stop walking toward your purpose. Many get sidetracked along the way and turn back. Why would you turn back? What does backwards have for you? What does Egypt have? My friend, God has an awesome plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life that he wants to bring out, plans to prosper you. And not the way the world prospers, but a way that only God can prosper. But do we want that to come to pass? Do we want it? Do we want God's purpose, or are we settled for ours? Are we willing to say that prayer, Lord, just like Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done? It takes a surrendered life. To fulfill God's purpose, it's going to take a surrendered life, a surrendered heart. Say, God, I tried it my way. Not my will, God. Your will be done. Your plans, let your plan be done. God, I want your calling. I want your purpose, God. I want to do what you call me to do. And God will say, okay, now I want you to take the tools that you got, tools of faith and prayer and gifts, and begin to work, begin to labor, get plugged into the church. And God will start sending the rain. He'll start giving you those breakthroughs. And all of a sudden, you're going to see yourself becoming the man of God, the woman of God that he's called you to be, that he created you to be. So that at that point, you could say, I am walking in my purpose. I am doing what God created me to do.